A few weeks ago in this studio, the MEP Barry Andrews accused the Irish government of dithering and called for an unambiguous statement of support for the first EU-wide directive to combat violence against women. The directive seeks to enhance and harmonise rules across the European Union. The European Parliament was unable to agree on a legal definition for the crime of rape. 12 member states supported the inclusion of a consent-based definition in the directive. 10 were against the proposal, with others undecided. Now, those talks have been ongoing, but now the word rape will not appear in the final text. So what will be in the directive? It'll create consistency around other crimes like female genital mutilation, forced marriage and cybercrime. Frances Fitzgerald is Fine Gael MEP and a member of the European Parliament's Committee on Women's Rights and Gender Equality, and was a lead negotiator on this directive. And Frances Fitzgerald, good morning to you.
Good morning.
This is a directive on violence against women, and yet we see that rape, with the definition of consent, will now not be included. How personally disappointing is this to you as somebody who's campaigned for women's rights for a long time?
Yes, of course. It's extremely disappointing that the heads of state across Europe could not get a majority in the council discussions. The Parliament is unanimous about this. The Commission is unanimous. But the heads of state in their councils, in their council meetings, could not get agreement. So it became very clear this week. We do have 15 countries. But you also need, for a qualified majority, 65% of the population of Europe, and we needed France or Germany to support the inclusion of rape with consent. And this week it became clear that France will not support that. They want to do their own legislation first. So I'm very disappointed, and all of my colleagues in the Parliament are disappointed, because it has become clear now that you know we do not have the support. The Council cannot give the support to including rape, including the consent issue. And of course, I think for all of us, and for the women of Europe and those who are suffering domestic violence and violence against women, it gives us a real insight, I believe, into attitudes to rape across the Union. Although they do say it's based on, you know, legal advice and legal decisions.
Clearly you don't buy that. Why was it so difficult to get consent across the European countries?
I think you have to look at it at a number of different levels. The arguments were legal to a degree. This is criminal law, and they did not feel that rape came under the definition of sexual exploitation, where trafficking is already included, and child abuse. So there was disagreement at a legal level. From the very beginning, it was uphill legally. I also think for some countries that do not have consent in their legislation, they believe this was a step too far. And there's a lot of attitudes, cultural, social, in that resistance, if you like. I mean, 15 countries would have to change their definitions of rape if this directive went through. And it seems that many countries prefer to do this at a local level. In fact, a lot of countries, as I say, haven't done it. So I believe that it's a combination of legal, attitudinal and culture. And it's very disappointing, because I do believe we have a duty of care to the women of Europe and the women who experience
this. And why did Ireland not give that unambiguous support that was called for?
Ireland is seen as undecided at present, but I have been assured by both the Minister and the Taoiseach that Ireland would not in any way veto this. It's by qualified majority anyway. But again, it's based on legal advice, no doubt about that, that, you know, criminal law should be left to the Irish legal system. But, you know, the argument the Parliament makes and the Commission makes is that you know, that it should be, we should have common standards, that women deserve adequate access to justice and reparation everywhere in the EU, no matter where they live, where they work or where they travel. You know, have a common definition right across Europe. And this is the best protection that we can give to European women.
Is this the end of the line now for having rape included in this directive?
Well, I think we will have what we're working on at the moment is making sure that rape will be included. And we have, as Rapporteur, I'm suggesting that there's quite a lot we could put in relation to prevention, because this is related to prevention, protection and prosecution. I think where the legal issue won't arise is in the area of prevention. And there's a lot that member states could still do. But it's not a substitute. But we have to remember that there is also female genital mutilation and about 7 crimes in relation to cyber violence. And this would be the first time ever that we would have cyber violence in an EU directive. And we know what a growing threat cyber violence is. So you would have, you know, you would criminalise the sharing of intimate images, cyber stalking, cyber flashing. It's very strong in that area. But it will be difficult to get agreement in the Parliament because the Parliament had set its sights, as had Ursula von der Leyen and her commission, on including rape in this directive. But, you know, like many things in equality, we may well have to fight another day to make rape made a Eurocrime and, you know, build incrementally in what's there, because there is a lot in the directive and we would build it in a review. Okay. But as I say, it's not clear that, you know, the various groups in the Parliament will support that because, you know, they're outraged that rape is not included. And then the next presidency is Hungary and after that Poland. So it may be a case of saying, look, this is what we have at this point, but the campaign and the fight has to continue with NGOs, with women across Europe and everyone who cares about this and the men who support us.
Frances Fitzgerald, Fine Gael MEP, thank you indeed.